To even compare him to silver and gold is so earthy. Amen. Nothing compares to him. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. I'll be kind to you today because most of you are so full and you've been up already. But those of you that would like to stand for the reading of the Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. I thought an awesome homecoming scripture would be one that Brother Penny read today in Acts. What was it, 20 or 21, where the Apostle Paul was determined to get back to Jerusalem for Pentecost. He had to get back home, where it all got started. I thought that'd be a pretty good homecoming text, but I didn't have that. So we're stuck in Ephesians. Good to see Brother Sweeney pop in. He's been holding revival out at Brother Fouts's. I like to call him Minnesota Fouts for all of you billiards fans. Good to have Brother Danny with us in service today. A lot of folks go through life without setting any goals for themselves. And you've heard the saying that when you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. People that do not set goals, do not have any ambitions, and then wonder why their life is shambles, wonder why they never get any better. They want to blame Bush. They want to blame Clinton. They want to blame the Senate, the House. They want to blame Blagojevich, or however you say his name. Or Ryan for all of his corruption. We want to point the finger of blame at anybody. And the fact is, most of the reasons why we don't have much is because we didn't plan for much. Hallelujah. Some people just take life as it comes and believe somehow magically God's plan is just going to poof, unfold in their lives. That's not the way it works. What Sister Warren said a while ago is key to any level of success, whether it's financially, in your career, in your marriage, in your church, in your spiritual condition. If you're going to achieve anything, you have to work at it. Amen. Plan for it. Aim at it. Without vision, the Bible said, people perish. Entire people groups will go extinct if the parents do not propagate and plan for the future. I'm not going to re-preach that as I preached here, I think, last Sunday night. But God has a specific plan for your life. But you have to seek it out with earnest desire. It's not just going to plop in your lap. I want to be used of God. I really do. I want to reach the potential and the goal that God has for my life. Jesus said, if you'll ask, you shall receive. And then he bumped it up a notch and said, if you'll seek, you'll find. And then he bumped it up another notch. Only a Pascarella mind would draw attention to the fact that ask is a three-letter word. Seek is a four-letter word. And knock is a five-letter word. You're progressing. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Some have sought out their life's purpose and perhaps have even caught a glimpse of what God had for them, and yet they became fearful, afraid that they would never be able to achieve their goal. But I want to encourage you today that God will not appoint you for that which He will not anoint you. Amen. God will not send you without directing you. And God will not call you without equipping you. Our purpose here leads one step closer to our eternal destiny, the goal that we have to desire to make it to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but some are not willing to do what it takes to get there. Amen. Others are afraid that it's just too far, it's too high a reach, there's no way they can achieve it. A man was taking a trip, thought he knew the way, and like most men, just wouldn't stop and ask directions, and just kept driving and driving and driving, wound up in the middle of nowhere, and saw an old man leaning against an old building, and so he pulled off to ask the old man how to get to where he was going. The old man looked to the right hand, and then he looked to the left hand, and then he looked to the ground, and he said, "You know, I don't think you can get there from here." "Well, I've come to tell you tonight, or today, you can get there from here." Amen. You can make it to your destiny, your purpose, your goal, and more importantly, that eternal home in heaven. And Paul gave us the keys to a successful Christian life here. First of all, he said, walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly in the Greek is akrobos. It means to walk exactly or diligently, perfectly. It comes from a word akrobestatos. I'm not a Greek guy, but I felt like this was very important. It means most exact, most straightest. A lot of times we just take a stab at trying to do the right thing. Oh, I'm human. I failed. No big deal. God understands who I am. God understands my weaknesses. Why everybody fails. Why God is a loving God, and He doesn't expect. I'll tell you what God expects. He expects your absolute best. Amen. What was it you said last night, Brother Sweeney? To do less than you can is subhuman. To do what you can is human. But to do more than you can is divine. God wants you not only to do what you can, but He wants you to get to a place that He can do what He can do through you. Amen. To walk most exact, most straight. The word circumspectly in the English means careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. I want to make it to my desired end. I want to achieve something in my life. I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done." And if I'm going to do that, the Apostle Paul said, you've got to walk circumspectly. The preacher in the Old Testament put it this way, ponder the path of your feet. That means think before you decide. Think before you act and think before you speak. Oh, to walk circumspectly, to know where I'm going and to on purpose be walking in that direction. You need to remember where you're heading. And then remember how important it is that you get there. That same preacher in the Old Testament said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. To start out good is wonderful, but to finish up on the wrong side, oh, what a terrible witness. Oh, what a sad day of awakening it would be that when the rest of the saints are rejoicing, you're standing on the outside looking in. I want to make it, amen. I want to get to that grand homecoming where the saints of all generations, of every tribe and tongue, will be gathered together at the throne of God. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." And if I'm going to get there, I can't just take a stab in the dark. I can't just wander my way. I can't accidentally fall upon it. But I've got to walk circumspectly. Amen. Know where I'm going and determine to go that route. And then He said, redeeming the time. That means buying up for yourself every opportunity. It's like the man that Jesus spoke about that heard of a land, a piece of property that had a pearl of great price. And instead of just trying to buy the pearl, he went and sold what he had and bought the property so that he could have the rights to the pearl. Amen. Snatching it up, buying it up, while some of us sit around and bemoaning our situation, wondering why things aren't any better in our world, and why stuff isn't any better in our house, and why things aren't any better in our church. There are people that are snatching up every opportunity. And I'll tell you this, if we don't buy the time up, the enemy's going to buy it out. Amen. If we don't take advantage of the time that God has given us, the opportunities that lay before us, we cannot point a finger of blame at anybody else, because they're going to take our opportunities. I heard a man several years ago, he said, we're constantly debating back and forth, and we're jealous of each other because their youth group is bigger than ours, and our youth group is better than theirs. He said, don't you understand that when you put all the youth groups in America together, the devil still has a larger youth group than we do? Amen. Paul said, you've got to walk circumspectly, diligently, most straightest, most exact. And while you're at it, be purchasing, occupying every opportunity that comes your direction. The opportunity that Paul is referring to in this text is to spread the light in a world that is sickened by darkness, because the days are evil. Amen. Oh, there's never been a time like this where society has been so turned away from God. I was talking to a young man at work the other day, and as long as we were talking about normal stuff, he was okay. But when I said, Layton, do you go to church? Boom, his face turned red. He shut up. He didn't want to talk. He didn't want to hear anything else about the Lord. I want to tell you, we're living in an evil day when people are turning their faces against God. It is time for Christians to stop bemoaning their situation and start purchasing, taking back, redeeming time. Amen. Moving to the drumbeat of heaven, getting the heartbeat of God, and knowing that He's sending us forth with a divine purpose while we're sitting around waiting on the will of God to come our way. Several years ago, we did a little skit at church over at Full Gospel while a young man was sitting by the phone waiting on a call from God. There was a wreck over here, and another young person ran over and tried to help the family that was in the wreck, and so she came back and told the guy that was waiting by the phone, I wish you would have gone with me to help me. Well, I would have gone, but I'm waiting on a call. And so then there's another group of kids that start fighting over here, and this second young person runs back and tries to straighten out the fight, and she runs back and says, oh, I wish you would have gone with me to help me with those kids. Well, I would have gone, but I'm waiting on a call. And you get the point. And yet when the phone rings, it wasn't for him at all. It was God calling her, because she had redeemed the time. Amen. Ministry is not a badge. It's not a credential. It's not a certificate that you hang on the wall. Ministry is looking in the eyes of the hurting and loving them where they are, like they are. Amen. Drawing them in, casting out a net, and pulling them into the kingdom. Redeeming the time is more than just doing things and doing this and doing that. Redeeming the time is reaching out to hearts, loving them with the gospel of Jesus, and pulling them into the kingdom. Redeeming the time. Take full advantage of the opportunities for service. There's only a limited amount of time, and that window is growing smaller and smaller every day. Amen. And I'm not sure we're really catching that as a church, that our window of opportunity is getting smaller all the time. The opportunities we have are fleeting. And when I stand before God, I don't want to offer Him any excuses. I want to offer Him some crowns. I want to offer Him some testimonies. I want to offer Him something of tangible worship. Look, Lord, You did so much for me, and I know nothing I could do is dare worthy of You, but here are those that I have reached. Here are those that I have preached to. Here are those that I have brought into the kingdom. Oh, to redeem the time. We've got to make better use of the time we have before the enemy buys it out. And then He said, understand what the will of the Lord is. If I just knew what the will of the Lord was. Well, here's one thing you can know. He said, do not be drunk
with wine, wherein is excess or dissipation. The Bible said in Proverbs 31, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor princes to drink intoxicating drinks, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. And after all, we are kings and priests unto God. So it's not for us to get involved in that stuff. It is not for us to get involved in a life of dissipation or wasteful expenditure, intemperate living, to spend or use up wastefully or foolishly. For us to redeem the time because we have a higher purpose, a higher goal. It's not just coming and performing my obligation and my duty, but there is something deeper here. He said, don't be filled with that stuff, but be filled with the Spirit and keep on being filled with the Spirit. No, we're not like some folks that believe in once in grace, always in grace, but for the most part, we believe once in Spirit, always in Spirit. Well, yeah, I have the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues back in 1983. That's the last time, buddy, you ain't filled. If 2003 was the last time, you ain't filled. In fact, if April 2006 was the last time, you ain't filled. He said, be filled. That means be continually filled with the Spirit. Those who keep being filled with the Spirit walk in the Spirit. And those who walk in the Spirit do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For they're walking to a higher purpose. They're walking to a higher power. Amen. The Lord is leading and directing them. Imagine taking a trip to California or anywhere for that matter and filling up in Paducah because it's cheaper over there right now. And you head down the road and you feel like I'm going all the way to California and I'm never going to need to fill up with gas again. Somewhere about western Missouri or eastern Oklahoma, you're going to need roadside assistance. Amen. It doesn't make sense that I can fill up in Paducah, make it to California and have no need to refuel. It doesn't make any sense, my friend, to think that you can get from Metropolis, Illinois all the way to heaven thinking that all you need is one initial fill up and you don't need to refuel. I tell you, the Word has given us a mandate. Be filled and keep on being filled with the Spirit. If you want to reach your goal, if you want to accomplish something, if you want God's stamp of approval, then walk circumspectly. Know what you're doing and determine you're going to do it with all your might. And redeem the time that you have available to you. Stop bemoaning your situation. Start doing something with the situation you're in. But then be filled with the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will achieve what God determined for you to do. For it will be the Spirit doing it through you. Amen. If you plan to make it to heaven, you got to refuel. And then he said in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves. Probably not like those guys you were talking about a while ago, Brother Emery, that was trying to get out of the military, talking to themselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A soul filled with the Spirit will result in a heart filled with a song. Amen. Somebody said, how do you become a grumpy old man? By being a grumpy young man. Amen. If you don't want to be an old cantankerous nag, then don't start out as a young cantankerous nag. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Isn't it amazing how singing can make the journey go by so much faster? Isn't it amazing how a little bit of joy, a little bit of a happy experience, you know the word blessed means happy. You can be happy in the Lord. Blessed. He gave us all the Beatitudes. You can be blessed. You can be happy. And to be filled with a song of praise, singing makes the journey sweeter, making a melody in your heart to God. I've seen people that have uttered the words out of their mouth, but it really wasn't deep down in their heart. And then I've seen people that had it down in their heart, but they just couldn't get it forced out their lips. I tell you tonight, tonight, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want to make it to the pearly gates, if you want to be sweeping through the gates, then it's going to happen as you sing and speak to yourself in psalms and songs and spiritual songs. Amen. Oh, singing and making melody in your heart a song of thanksgiving that says, Jesus, for all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do, for all that you've promised, and all that you are, and all that has carried me through, Jesus, I thank you. No, I'm not necessarily as blessed as I'd like to be right now, and I don't have everything I'd like to have. I'm not as far along the road as I would like to be. I'm not all that I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm saved. Still I'm saved. While everything around me is crumbling, my life is still in the hands of God. I see everybody else, and it seems as though there's sorrow, and yet I feel a joy. I feel a bubbling in my soul. I will sing a song of praise and thanksgiving to my God. Somebody said that time flies when you're having fun. The reality is time flies whether you're having fun or not. But the journey is so much sweeter when you know where you're going and you've made up your mind to go. The journey is so much sweeter when you use your time wisely. I've only got a little bit of time to get to heaven, brother. I don't have time to fool around with this debate and this argument and pointing fingers and all that. I'm going to use my time wisely. I'm going to redeem the time. The journey is so much sweeter when you know what the will of God is for your life. Amen. And frankly, it's just be filled with the Spirit. You get filled with the Spirit and God will take care of the rest. Every man and woman's ministry is going to make room for itself. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit is His will. And then the journey will be sweeter if you'll just have a song in your heart. Let it bubble up from within side and then let it bubble out of your mouth. Amen. Singing a song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And I tell you, your journey will be so much sweeter if you learn to give thanks always in all things and for all things. Amen. I'm not talking about lunacy where I just stub my toe. Thank you, Jesus. No, but when you've gone through a deep, dark valley and you've lived to tell about it, you've live to testify about it. I can tell you right now, stuff that just a few months ago, I didn't see how God could gain any glory. I didn't see how God could be praised at all. Suddenly I look around and I realize that what the enemy meant for my evil, God has used for my good. I am finding out on a daily basis that all things do work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So if it's in a valley, then Lord, I'm going to praise You. If it's on a mountain, then God, I will praise You. If it's out in the desert, then Lord, I will praise You. For I know this much. I know where I'm going. And I made up my mind I'm going to get there. Wherever You lead me by the Spirit, I know You're going to take me through. I'm going to come out on the other side. So I say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for the valley. Thank You for the trial. Thank You for the tears. And thank You for the victory. Thank You for the hope. Thank You for the call. Thank You for the benefits. Thank You for the promise. Oh, what's it going to be like when that trumpet sounds? How do you think you're going to react the one second you're here and your bones are creaking and crackling and the next second you're standing in the presence of the Lord? What's it going to be like? I can only imagine. I don't know if I'm going to dance. I don't know if I'm going to fall prostrate on the ground. I don't know if I'm going to shout hallelujah, if I'm going to join in the chorus with the two angels on either side of the throne. I don't know how I'm going to act, but I know this much, I'm going to give Him praise and thanks always for all things, for it led me to the glorious kingdom of God. It brought me out of darkness into light. It led me from mortality into immortality, from corruption to incorruption. I will sing a song of glory and praise and thanks to Him forever and ever and ever and ever. We might as well learn to give thanks always here. Because the day's coming when that's all we're going to do. That's all we're going to do. Sing your pretty little songs about sticking your toes down in the river of life. And preach your fancy little messages about picking fruit off the tree of life. And talk to me about your stone and your pillar and your fancy mansion. And make a big to-do. I don't care if it's a room or a mansion all my own. I don't plan to be in it, brother. I've often said, surely barbecue is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But frankly, I don't care. I imagine it's going to be that day like it is for most brides down here. Who can eat? I'm getting married. Who can even think about anything else? Look at him. He's mine. I've waited on him all this time. I've heard of him. People have told me about him. And here I've been engaged to him for so long. He's mine. I can't even think about Thomas or Paul or whoever else that song sings about. I can't even imagine trying to sit down with Abraham and figure out how he made it over. And let me tell you how I made it over. There's only one way we made it over. And that's because we decided to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, being filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in our hearts, giving thanks unto God always for all things. That's how we made it over. And that's the praise I give to my King. I want you to stand with me this afternoon. We've come home for homecoming 2006. Mother's Day 2006 was the first time in who knows how long that all three of us kids were together with Mom. And who knows how long it'll be or if it will ever happen again. Coming home is so much sweeter. I told him earlier today, Dad, that the first 18 years of my life was spent looking forward to the day of getting out of Jonesboro. But for some reason, the more the years pass along, the sweeter J Street becomes. Coming home is a wonderful gift. For some of you that started out here and moved away and you're back home at Victory Full Gospel. Some of you, this has been home from the start. Some of you, you've got a history that goes back to Cherry Street. You've got a history that goes out to Sammoth. You've got a history from wherever that God has brought you together. This is a precious, precious occasion. But the greatest homecoming will be that day when the trumpet sounds. And why would anybody risk missing such a homecoming? Why would anybody risk just dropping away, falling away, missing the mark? We've gone to all this trouble this far, brother. Better is the end of a thing. We might as well go ahead and just make up our mind. What was it Sister Warren said? You got to know how to just keep going on. To be most exact. Now, I could do this. I could sway. I could detour. I could take a side route. I could sin. I could fall away. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to do the right thing. I wonder how many of you are tired of bemoaning your situation. You're tired of wishing you had more, tired of wishing things were different, tired of wishing that the stars would have lined up a little better for you. And today you're ready to just set your course. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going through. No matter what the enemy throws, I'm just going through. I wonder if there's anybody like that today. You're just tired of bemoaning. You're tired of whining. You're tired of being a sniveling little kid, falling down in the aisle, kicking your feet, throwing a fit because God didn't give you a piece of chocolate. I've been there. I've done that. But I've made up my mind. I'm going through. I want you to join me around the front. Saints, step out of your seats. I want you to come and stand with me around the front of this building. Of all the appointments I've ever kept, I want to keep this one. Hallelujah. Of all the places I've gone and seen, I want to make it to the heavenly kingdom, Brother Danny. And I got to tell you, friends, the coming of the Lord is at hand. We are living in the era of the coming of the Lord. Yeah, well, Grandpa said that too. Well, come on, I want you all up here. You're part of us. When I'm all alone and all by myself, sometimes the journey gets difficult. But when I've made up my mind and I'm standing next to another brother that's made up his mind, and he's standing next to a wife who's made up her mind, and she's standing up to a widow that's made up her mind, and before long, this puny-looking bunch becomes an army. And you're snatching up a little bit of time, and you're snatching up and redeeming some time, and Brother Fouts out in Lola's snatching up some time, and Aunt Jean and then Mom and Dad are snatching up time over in Jonesboro, and Brother Danny's snatching up time everywhere he goes, and the Warrens are snatching up time out, and you're out in Tams, and we're snatching up time, redeeming time. And then you start getting an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We can just get our pastors prayed through, filled up with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then get our deacons and our elders. Get our teachers and our preachers and our offering takers and our singers filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you, heaven is just that far away. Just that far away. If we just get it all together and somehow get our minds off of the trudge and off of the stuff. I just want to get there. I don't mean to be humorous, but there was a time when our kids were little. And I got so tired of having to stop at every rest area just to go home to Mom and Dad's. We had a Chevy Astro minivan. We bought a little porta pot and stuck it behind the back seat. That's a fact. And if they said they had to use the bathroom, crawl over the seat. We're on the road. We're going home. I don't have time to piddle diddle to fiddle. Amen. We're going home. That's what we're doing, saints. We're headed home. We're headed home. No time to be sidetracked and deterred. I want you to lift your hand. We're going to just give God thanks right now. Father, you brought us this far by faith. Lord, you have kept us by your grace. You have established your kingdom within our hearts. And we lift up a thanks to you. We lift up our praise to you. Hallelujah. Lord, let the heavenly kingdom come alive in our hearts today. Let it come alive in our hearts today. Let the song bubble from our hearts. We lift up our thanks to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. I don't have time to fall away. I don't have time to get distracted. I don't have time to get deterred. I've made up my mind. I'm going through. Hallelujah. Sing it with us. Oh, I'm going. Chances are, the chances are that somebody in this circle of brothers and sisters right now is contemplating walking away. You're not a bad person for thinking that. Amen. You're not a bad person for being discouraged. You're not a bad person for being depressed. You're not a bad person for wondering, is there really a heaven? Will I ever get there? And the enemy would love to pound you on the head with guilt and shame and riddle you with all the blame game and tell you, you might as well just throw up your hands and quit. Well, I've come to tell you, you can get there from here. Amen. There's nothing that can keep you from getting to the kingdom if you make up your mind to go. Amen. And the Bible said, let every man bear his own burden. But then a few verses down it said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I want you to turn to the person next to you. It may be good if you just turn to somebody you don't know. Somebody you ain't married to. Somebody that you may not even know their name. You don't know their circumstance. Take them by the hand. You can do it like a handshake so you can't be accused of. And I want you to begin to pray in the name of Jesus over that life. I want you to call their name out. If you don't know their name, ask them what it is. I want you to call their name out before God. And I want you to declare the righteousness of God in their life. That they will be made strong in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
There's nothing to hold me here. For I caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. And now I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I know there's nothing to hold. trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, we can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Oh, we've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet, never will, and oh, we can't turn around. We've come this far by faith.
Hallelujah. I want this pastor and his wife to come. Sister Sue, right down here in front, brother. Right down here. I'm talking to you. Oh, you're getting your coat. Okay. I love old people. Praise God. I want those of you that you want to see this house pushed to its next level. You want to see this house reach its potential. I want you to come and I want you to gather around this pastor and his wife. And I want you to pray for their circumspect view. I want you to pray for their strength. I want you to pray for God to baptize them afresh. Hallelujah. Gather close. I want you to draw around them. I want you to lay your hands. If you can't reach them, I want you to stretch your hand in their direction. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless this house. We bless this house of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for this man and this woman of God.
We come.
And I pray that you would anoint them with a fresh touch of glory. Let a fresh light of revelation shine upon them. My God, let them see things that nobody else can see. Hear what nobody else can hear. And lead this church into victory. Hallelujah. God, what we've received and what we've seen is wonderful. But we've not even touched the tip of the iceberg for what you have in store for a church that will redeem the time.
We've come this far by faith. Oh, we've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, we can turn around. We've come this far by faith.
I wish we could take time and listen to the witness of folks that have come this close, Brother Sweeney, to walking away. And something happened, some remembrance. That old story, it's been told and retold about the man that had been in church and out of church so many times. And finally he said, God, next time I decide to backslide, before I do, I'm going to come and talk to you about it. Have you ever heard that? He was serving the Lord and was blessed and happy, but then he got discouraged and decided, I think I'm going to backslide. I want to go get drunk, but before I do, I'm going to go talk to the Lord about it. He went into the prayer closet where he had felt the presence of God so many times. He said, now, Lord, I've come to tell you I'm going to backslide today. I'm discouraged. I'm just going to give up. But I wanted to come and tell you how much I appreciate you for saving me back however long ago it was. Thank you for the church and for all the saints that prayed for me. Lord, I thank you that you put my family back together again. I just wanted to tell you this before I go back out and backslide. He just began to thank the Lord for all the things that he had done. And before he knew it, he was refilled with the Holy Ghost, came out of that prayer room, energized and ready to go on for God. I'm telling you, you can get there from here if you just don't stop. Amen. So what you fell? Get up. So what you blundered? Start again. Pick up. Go from here. Heaven is our hope. Amen. Happy homecoming.
Appreciate you being here. Everything that God has done in this building has been because of the people that He sent. They kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and sometimes it even amazed me. I remember just every time Sister Brenda was talking about when they came. I remember the night. I remember the song. We're going back. Is that right? Yep. I remember each and every one that came. Glory to God. Brother Penny, when he pulled up in the driveway to talk to me one day, and the Lord spoke to Brother Stanley that God's going to send him to help Brother Jack. He was still pastoring the church at that time. Glory to God. God has just moved. I remember each and every one that came, some broken, some never been in church. Glory to God. Some looking for something else. Glory to God. I remember when Sister Suzanne and her family came and how that smile lights up the whole back of the church back there at times. Glory to God. I remember when they came. Glory to God. I remember Sister Tammy came to a yard sale, and that used to be a garage back there. And we were having a yard sale. There wasn't nothing done here yet. Brother Kerry came that day to the yard sale. And Sister Tammy said, "There's just something about that property. I don't know what it is." Glory to God. But God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And the only way we'll ever keep going is with your prayers. And if we stay on our knees, because it ain't in our strength and it ain't in our might. Glory to God. I'm just like the rest of them. Sometimes my knuckles is just white and I'm hanging right on the edge, Brother Brian. And then all of a sudden the Lord will lift down and He'll touch you. And you feel like jumping on a grizzly bear with a switch. And then there's times that you wouldn't get on a groundhog with a switch. Glory to God. But as long as we keep Jesus in front of us, and I know somebody's got church, and I don't want to tarry and keep you. I appreciate you. I love you. You're all my friends and family. I appreciate you coming and being with us. Those that's not here, or those that doesn't go to church here, I appreciate you. And appreciate some that is in other churches that's come home. Glory to God. I told the people a long time ago, we can't meet every need. And if you want to leave, then I'll try to find you a church and try to help you find a church. Because I'm not going to fight no more forever, as Chief Joseph said. I'm not going to battle nobody, Brother Fouts, for nothing. I just want to see you go to heaven. I don't care what flock you in, as long as you make it to heaven. Glory to God. I love you, and you dismiss in the name of the Lord.